This game is based on that idea. Take one toilet and put it in the middle of the yard.
Huh?
Yeah.
This is in the country, isn't it?
The object of this game is to remember what you see floating in the toilet.
Huh?
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, yes. Everybody.
Welcome to 2015. I'm going to kick off with something that I think is going to be really big. It's not just here in the Hey You Know It studio, okay. But worldwide. This
nice.
Is wine ice cream.
Wine ice cream.
So it says,
two wonderful worlds colliding.
Yeah. Wine ice cream. It says when you're depressed after a bad breakup, you have two cures, ice cream and then alcohol. But these people have combined the two together. So it's actually... It's
when
not,
wine and ice cream love each other very much.
Yes.
When they together.
Get together. Love is made. It's actually not wine. It's not just wine flavored. It's actual wine ice cream. It's 5% alcohol
nice.
Content.
Oh.
So if you eat a whole pint, you can get a little buzz going.
Nice.
But they have a couple different flavors. Cherry.
Did I sound a little too excited?
Yes. Cherry Merlot.
Okay.
Chocolate Cabernet. Peach White Zinfandel. I'll be going for that one.
I'll be the chocolate Cabernet.
Because I like a cheap
goodness.
Zin.
Yeah.
Red Raspberry Chardonnay. That's weird.
Yeah.
Spiced. Just spiced.
Okay.
And Riesling.
Riesling
is the last one.
I think that we're just, before you read further, I think we have to get them and try them all.
I want to try them all, but unfortunately they're not available outside of the upstate New York store that is selling it and making it. So we'll have to find them. We'll have to contact them and be like, can you ship it to
they
the, you know,
the
studio?
They can ship it to the studio in the freezer bag.
Yeah, but it might be a thing because it's alcoholic. And, you know, there's always something weird about shipping. You know what? I'll track
to go
it
on
down.
A road trip?
Yeah, road trip. But we can't eat the ice cream and then drive back, apparently. And it's called Wine Cream.
Wine Cream.
Wine Cream. So
that's
I like
beautiful.
It.
It's beautiful.
It says coming soon, and it's called it's Mercer's Wine Infused Ice Cream. So Wine Ice Cream by Mercer's. Check it out, I guess. I'm going to try to check it out.
We will
back.
Check it out. We will, and we'll let you know, listeners,
yeah.
how it turns out.
It says
somehow.
you can eat a big bowl of ice cream and get your wine buzz on. It just says upstate New York, which is huge. That's like saying out west.
Yeah.
Like, it's somewhere in upstate. Don't worry about it. Don't
yeah.
worry about it.
Yeah.
So Wine Cream. Kicking off the new year right.
Sweet.
All right, what do you have?
Well, we have here a listener mail.
Awesome.
With an article.
So just so you guys know, the longtime listeners will think that if you send us a listener email, you might get a shot glass, but we are out of shot glasses for 2015.
Right. We used to offer the shot glasses for an email or a
five-star review
on iTunes, but we're out of shot glasses.
Yeah, we're plumb out. If anyone has any ideas for any other promotional items that don't require batteries, Let us know.
Right. Okay. This is from Grace.
Yay.
All right. Hello, ladies. I'm sorry I keep sending you these kinds of articles.
Don't be sorry.
Don't be sorry at all. But I believe you'll have a classy take on this. Keep up the great work.
So Grace. This is Grace who brought us the little rooster?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a theme here?
There is a theme.
Okay.
This is, the wearable vibrator is surprisingly elegant. It's the title of the article.
Surprise.
And there is an image of a woman with some cleavage.
Yes.
And
just one half of cleavage. So the other half doesn't seem to be making an appearance.
Oh, well.
It's right cleavage.
Yeah, right cleavage.
Yes.
And then it showcases a necklace with what looks like a long pendant.
Yeah.
It looks almost like a golf tee.
Yeah, you're right. It's about, what, maybe 2 inches long?
I would say, well, in the picture, it's about 2 inches long,
yeah.
But it might be longer.
Maybe longer, 2 or 3 inches long.
And the article reads, there's a new necklace that's generating buzz.
In town. That's generating buzz.
Which is why R29 Wellness, not fashion, is covering it. Yes, the dramatic stainless steel pendant is stylish, but it also has a function beyond looking good on your neck.
Okay.
It's a sex toy. A vibrator, to be exact, which makes, which builds it as the world's first luxurious, rechargeable vibrator necklace.
But why do you have to wear it as a necklace? Like, why is that a feature that it's also a necklace?
So you can wear it through airport security, and it doesn't go off in your bag.
But I don't know. I feel like... I feel like that's something that airport security might have a look at. Like,
they'll
if they're
look
not looking at battery-operated things.
They'll look at it. They'll be like, that's a necklace, and if it buzzes going through, you just take off your jewelry and put it in the
And they're not going to be like, pick it up, and it starts, like, jumping around and wonder what's going on. Also, I mean, it's very small.
Yeah.
So maybe vibrator technology it's very, very small.
It is small.
It gets small. It looks like it's about the circumference of maybe a small pen.
Yeah.
Or a pencil.
Yeah.
This is tiny.
The design is minimalist, almost industrial, which makes sense when you think about the past life of its creator, T. Chang, who is an industrial designer.
T. Chang. Why didn't you say that up front? The T. Chang.
The T. Chang.
He wrote that himself.
Industrial designers are the types of designers who manufacture, say, if you want to develop a new chair, mm-hmm. and you want a new design for your chair, they're the ones that come up with the whole...
How to put it together. Okay.
What
manufacturing.
Right.
And
is it really going to work?
So this guy was like, you know what? Enough of that.
Yeah.
I'm branching out.
He used to design tables, and he turned to sex toys. After he walked into it...
It's a woman.
It's
okay.
A woman. She walked into an adult entertainment store one day. Just wandered in.
Yeah.
And thought, what is this stuff? It wasn't her first time in the sex shop.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But she was struck by the cheesiness of what was available to women. And it's always been my vision as a designer to make people feel comfortable with something taboo.
Mm-hmm.
When you have parts that look good, not like a big old rabbit. You know, the rabbit sex
toys. Yeah, which people love. That's like one of the hottest top-selling sex toys ever.
Yeah.
Like, who wants that?
Right? Yeah. That actually works.
Yeah.
Right. It makes sex toys easier to digest. To be clear, Chang has nothing against wearing a purple silicone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
I mean...
But her company prioritizes aesthetics as highly as pleasure.
Okay. This thing looks like nothing, people.
The Zesper calls to mind a slender bullet, but mm-hmm. works like one, too. It has three intensity levels that are intended for direct stimulation.
How do you turn... It's so small.
Right.
How do you turn this thing on? Is it battery... I mean, it must have the string attached to it at all times, people. It's that small.
Yeah.
Like, you could lose it. And then you just have to wait till the batteries run down.
Right, yeah, basically.
And it falls out.
I bet you has, like, those weird batteries that you just can't buy in a store,
yes.
So you have to send it back.
Or...
You have to take it to a clock fixer.
Yeah, there's no way you can replace the battery on your own. You've got to take it to your watch guy and be like...
<He's>
do you have batteries for this?
What time is it?
Because, like, I'm not touching this.
Yeah.
You know?
But they say the stainless steel makes for a sanitary experience, whether
okay.
the best is on your neck or elsewhere.
Because that's always a problem for people.
Yeah. You wash it and it's good, says Chang. It can't harbor bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it charges by a USB. Ah.
I do not want to go to someone's desk and see that thing sticking out of the side of their laptop.
Right.
I just don't want to see it. So there is no battery, basically.
No, it's
USB. Charged, but if it's a USB, you know how with USB, like, they charge less and less and
yeah,
less
yeah,
over
yeah.
time. So
yeah.
it's going from, like, a thunderous rage to just, like, a small zzzz.
I guess I guess that's when it graduates to your neck and you're like, well, we had some good times, but now
it's just a piece of jewelry.
Yeah. Chang stresses there's no right way to use a Vesper. It's not for everyone. What?
Really?
There's no right way to use it?
Yes.
This thing doesn't work. No matter what you do, there's no right way.
Well, don't worry about it because it's not for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Not for everyone.
It's not for everyone.
Probably, if it's not working, it's not for you.
No, it's not
for you. It's not our fault.
Yeah. And at least you've got a necklace.
Some women really like it just because it's a cool-looking necklace.
You know someone's going to get that as a gift and be like, oh, and it vibrates.
Oh.
I don't know.
Some really would wear it as a symbol of empowerment. Some women would just keep it at home as a vibrator.
How is that a symbol of empowerment? It just really looks like a
golf
little
tea.
Cylinder, yeah.
Yeah.
Golf tee. That
it's
vibrates.
Available for pre-order and we'll be shipping in September.
Oh, it doesn't exist.
Choose silver-plated, rose gold-plated, or even 24-karat gold-plated. Woohoo!
First of all, I have to say no to rose gold.
Yeah.
Just up top.
Yeah.
No. No rose gold. I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Do you like this in rose gold?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make my own vibrator that the necklace is like a dick. That's all. Attached to a string.
That's it.
Like, I think that'll be a better seller.
Probably.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
Like a little miniature phallus.
Yeah. Look. We're beat up front here.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Grace. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. This is something that's coming to New York. I was a little shocked. We talked about cat cafes, I think, before in the past, or maybe just...
Oh, the cat cafe?
Yeah, where you can go and hang out with a cat.
Yeah.
In a cafe setting. So there's actually one is coming to New York City. There was a pop-up one, apparently. Right. And apparently there were lines around the block because New York has a lot of single women.
Yeah. There's a lot of
single women.
It's, you know, cats aren't just for the elderly.
No.
They're for everybody.
They're for everybody. So it's just a cat cafe offers feline and caffeine fix. Come to New York City. This is in the Wall Street Journal, my onion. So on their way home one evening after closing up their Manhattan macaroon shop, once again, pastry chef Christina Ha and her husband Simon Tung heard the cries of an abandoned cat.
Okay.
So they go on to rescue this cat. They take the cat home, and then they become pretty much obsessed with it. All they want to do is spend time with this cat. Like, they're working at they're making their macaroons during the day, and all they can think about is, we got to get home and hang out with this cat. So then they start thinking, I'm not kidding. Then they start thinking, maybe other people would like to hang out with cats as well. Right?
That's why you have them at home. Then you hang out with them there.
So the cat is called Mr. Socks. And 18 months after they got Mr. Socks, they are opening up the Meow Parlor.
Oh.
New York City's first official cat cafe. It will be open Monday, and it'll open on Monday in Manhattan's Lower East Side. Customers can come in, share a cup of coffee, and hang out with a group of about a dozen rescue cats. I'm just imagining some feral fucking cats.
Oh, can you bring your cat?
No.
Oh, it's just...
Cats are provided.
Cats are
provided. You cannot bring in your own cat.
See, I thought that you could bring your cat.
And hang out. No. This is you're paying. It's $4 for half an hour.
Okay.
Just to be in the place.
All right.
With the cat. Only 20 people can be in the room with the cats at a time. The cats have Wednesdays off. And they have special hours... from 3 to 5 for kids. Now, this thing hasn't even opened up yet. It is so popular that it is booked solid for like the next 6 months.
Get out.
All these people are paying $4 per half hour. Plus, when you're there, you get like, I guess, cat-themed drinks.
Yeah.
Coffees.
Right.
You know, donuts or, you know, whatever, this kind of thing. I don't know how they're going to make any money. That's $4, $8 an hour, 20 people, $160 an hour. Plus the cats.
Cat people are so into cats that they'll buy. I'm sure there's going to be, like you said, the merchandise. There's going to be things for people to buy.
Will there be catnip?
Probably. And it'll support the cats. And people will be throwing their money down at this place.
Will the cats be getting tips? I'm just imagining, like, what if the cats aren't into it? What if the cats are like, fuck it?
Cats are always like that.
I just want a cat nap.
Cats don't want to be involved in anything, right?
No.
Yeah.
But so for, I'm paying $8 an hour. I'm going to go, I'm expecting maximum cat action. Like, I
what,
want
what
all
action?
The cats.
What do you want them to do?
I want them to purr.
Okay.
I want them
to pounce?
Maybe. Perhaps. Right. I want to see them playing with wind-up mice.
Okay.
Like, I want the full cat experience. I don't want to come in there and see 5-6 cats just, like, sleeping on the windowsill.
Right.
Doing nothing.
Right.
For my $8 an hour. Like, I want to see these cats on point.
Yeah.
Like, performing.
Better be.
Purring, like I'm saying, you know, rubbing up against your leg. The full Monty.
Yeah.
You know? Everything that a cat can do. So yeah, it's called a Meow Parlor. You can book the appointments online. Like I said, there's special times for kids, and they said that there was so many people wanted to go to this thing that their reservation service broke down on the first day.
Like
the website went haywire.
Oh my god, that's so
funny. From all these people. Here's a tip. You can go to the ASPCA, get a cat.
Why not?
Of your own.
Yeah.
You, like, you don't have to pay $8 every hour that you see the cat. They will be, the cats are available for adoption.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I feel like these cats are going to be flying off the shelf. Like, what if I make an appointment and I get there and they're like, well, most of the cats are gone. We got this one cat left.
And this week after week, it's just one
20
cat.
People, one freaking cat.
Yeah.
For $8 an hour. I don't know. How are they going to pay their rent? This is in the Lower East Side where, like...
I shrugged my shoulders in case your listeners didn't get that.
It seems like it's so hard to run a business in New York City. If this can work, then anything could work.
Well, if people are already, like, breaking down the door trying to get in there, they'll find a way to make it work. They have to develop that.
I think they need more cats.
More cats.
And I think they need to charge more than $4 per half an hour.
Yeah.
You know? Like, maybe it should be, like, $10 per half an hour.
Well, how many people? 20 people?
20 people at a time, max.
Okay.
You know? So, and plus, I think there should be at least 20 cats, although that's a lot of cats in
so
one space.
So it's $80 a half hour, right?
Yeah.
Is my math right?
Yeah.
$160
an hour.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
plus then whatever they make.
Plus whatever drinks and you know, whatever the t-shirts. Cats can hustle from the people.
I bet you, like, you pay and you can have videos with the cats, something like that.
But I just, like, having had cats before, I know that a lot of times cats are just like, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is what they don't know they're getting, you know, that people are paying to come see them.
That's right.
They don't care.
I don't give a F.
No. Very interesting. So, Cat Cafe. Nice. You know, I'm going to swing by and look at it. I just want to take a picture of the people paying money to be with cats that they can get for free off the streets. Meow. All right, what do you have?
We have here an iTunes review.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, well, I was going to say, if you give us an iTunes review, we'll read it online. We'll read it on the air, regardless of the content, if you give us 5 stars. That's all we got for you,
that's
though.
That's it. We used to have the shot glass program, but we don't anymore. So this is just, we're going to read it.
We're just going to read it. Katie's going to read it with enthusiasm.
Yes. This one is Smart, Funny, Strong Women. 5 stars.
Oh, are they talking about us?
Yeah. By Trey Pup.
Okay.
The world needs more of us to open our big mouths without apology. But luckily, Katie and Jaquetta have plenty enough to say for all of us. I'm not saying that just because one of them is my sister.
Oh. Well, is your sister, I'm guessing, because I don't have any.
Yeah, this is from my sister. This is my sister, Trey. And she goes on to say, the interview with Al Crisafulli from November 2nd, 2014 was particularly excellent.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So thank you, Trey. And unfortunately, we do not have a shot glass for
you. But we will raise our shot glasses to you.
Either one, our personal ones. Yes. And we'll think of you.
Thank you very much.
Right. And so she is talking about this episode called Sugar Blasting FOCs with Al Crisafulli. It is episode 179. Al does have a record label called Sugar Blast Music Company. And so one of his bands on the album is called Stuyvesant. And they have a new album that came out in 2014.
At the end of 2014.
Yeah, at the 25th of November. And it's called Stuyvesant Schmyvesant. So, if you get a chance, why don't you check it out on iTunes or go and pick up the CD somewhere. It's really great. Again, Stuyvesant Schmyvesant from Sugar Blast.
Good music.
Yeah.
I wanted to just throw this out here since we're in the new year. If you guys are looking for work out there, I found this online. It's a casting call. There's for reality TV. We could also do this, right?
Okay.
It's any city, anywhere, anybody can do it. And it says, in the midst of making a tough decision, are you currently grappling with the pros and cons of a proposition? They're offering payment, or if you're being offered a payment or perk for proposition, we want to talk to you. Have you received an ultimatum that you haven't decided what you want to do? Huh? Does it challenge your morals, values, or beliefs? Is this making you question the line between right or wrong?
I'm making me question the whole article. I don't know what's going on.
Is somebody asking you to do something that feels dirty, embarrassing, or just plain wrong? Is it not just cut and dry? Are you being tempted to do something that may be wrong?
What?
So basically, if you are being tempted to do something that may be wrong, they want you to be on their reality TV show. It's a new documentary series that's about, apparently, temptation.
Really?
Yeah. So have you been hard up and feeling like you're willing to do things you never considered before?
Well, that's different. That's being desperate and being tempted are two different things.
Is someone offering you money to do something that goes against your morals or beliefs? Has someone made you a proposal that makes you feel dirty, sleazy, or embarrassing? Didn't Demi Moore do this film already?
Yeah. So right, right.
Do you have the opportunity to do something that feels unethical? Who would go on TV and, you know what, someone has offered me an opportunity to rob a bank. And I'd like to go on TV and weigh it out, see how it goes.
but it's
an indecent proposal.
An indecent proposal. But that's something different. Being unethical. And
it's all of this.
You know, doing something. If you're in a desperate situation and you need some cash and they're like, hey, you want to do, take off your clothes for whatever. Let us film you.
But it's gotta be more. It's gotta be more than that because this is reality TV. Like, people take off their clothes for like a candy
bar. That's desperation. But temptation is something that you really want. And
so what's
something
would be,
that's forbidden?
Okay, like I mean, give me an example. What would be the thing? And they're saying it's for a documentary series, but we know it's just reality TV.
I don't know. It's like you know,
like killing someone.
Killing someone.
Hunting a man.
Maybe. I don't know, having an affair with somebody.
But why would you go on a documentary and talk about that? Do you know what I mean? Like, so if it's something that's unethical or wrong and you're even considering it, you probably don't want to let everybody know about that. Like, if I'm thinking about killing somebody,
yeah,
like for money, right, let's say, because I'm desperate. I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. My mortgage is underwater. Like, everything's full of student loans. Yeah. I got child support payments. I got ex-husbands, alimony, right, all that kind of stuff. And someone has come and been like, well, he just bummed this dude off.
Yeah, right.
We'll take care of all of that. I'm probably not going to want to go on a documentary or a reality TV show and talk about it, because then I can't choose to do it.
Right.
It has to be something that you know you're not going to do.
Is this like another, I don't know, another shoot off of a Chris Hansen kind of thing where they're trying to entrap people?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but it just seems
like... But I love that show, by the way. The Chris Hansen, To Catch a Predator, is one of my favorite shows.
Oh, it's fantastic. But they don't... There's not an ad and be like, you know, are you a pedophile?
Yeah.
Are you interested in being on a reality TV
program? Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, these are people that they just catch out. Yeah. I just feel like it's weird. I want to know who's going to... First of all, it doesn't say what the show is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely going to keep track of it because I want to know, like, what's going to happen.
It could be, like, kind of like a police, like, facade thing.
You think they're trying... Are you considering robbing a bank?
Or like, hey, this is just for a reality show.
Contact us. Here's another one I thought is another casting for a reality show. It's a little more specific. It says, now casting ultimate Buffalo Wing aficionados.
That's me.
I thought so. I don't think you qualify, though. It says, Ish Entertainment is casting a larger-than-life Buffalo area Buffalo Wing fanatics for an exciting new show. We're not talking about guys who... Just talking about guys who can eat their weight in wings. Not just that. But we're talking about aficionados who know everything there is to know about wings. Can debate sauce, textures, technique. But you have to be college age. Don't make it.
I just don't make it. I'm just scotched right out of that.
And then you have to be in the Buffalo
Denver
area. Okay. I've never had a wing.
That's
I've never had a buffalo wing. What's to talk about?
Oh, like, there's so much to talk about.
For a TV show?
There's so much. There is the consistency of the chicken.
Okay. With the viscosity of the sauce.
The viscosity of the sauce, the taste, the texture of the sauce. How the outside is cooked, is it really... my mouth is watering.
Yeah.
Deeply fried.
We have to take a break for wings.
Got to take a wing. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. Though I'm not an expert, I just...
Are there lots of different
enthusiast
kinds of... enthusiast. It's casual.
Yeah.
She's a casual buffalo wing eater. Are there really that many different kinds of wings that you could talk about on a show?
Not me.
No, I mean that one could talk about.
Probably, if you really put a lot of time and effort into it.
Now,
you could go around to different regions and their sauces and their styles.
Is buffalo... like, that's the style of it, right? It's from Buffalo.
Who knows?
Who knows? I have no idea.
I don't know if that's why they have the name. If it came from Buffalo or
not. They're doing this in Buffalo. Buffalo. I know Buffalo is also the home of debt collection. That's what they're also known for.
Oh, really?
Yes. There's like there's like more people working in the debt collection industry in Buffalo than like a lot of other industries.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway.
Love it.
What do you have?
I just want to talk about January.
Okay. Yeah, because we're in it.
We're in it
right now.
We're
the month of January.
January. It's like, January is the first month of the year. And
yes, it is.
Okay, so it's named after Janus, the god of the doorway.
Oh, that's right. The two faces, right? Janus.
I have no idea. But he's the god of the doorway. So that's what January is all about. So the new beginning. Enter the new door. The new door.
The new door. Bust into the new door.
Bust into the new year. Yeah. Let's see. There's a couple of noted holidays. It's a national thank you month.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome. New Year's Day, of course. Then you have, there's the Russian Orthodox Christmas, January 7th.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wish we celebrated that here because we could keep that rolling. Just a Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, this Russian Orthodox situation.
Yeah, Three Wise Men Day is January 6th.
Okay.
And that's the end of the 12 days of Christmas. The 12 days of Christmas really start on Christmas. It starts Christmas Day and it ends on the Feast of the Wise Men.
Oh, I didn't know that.
People forget about that.
Who cares?
And then in Japan, they have a coming of age day.
Really? For everybody?
No, this is if you turned 20 in the year preceding the coming of age day, which is the second Monday of January, then you go to this ceremony where you're now officially an adult.
Wow.
And you wear an outfit, special outfit, and you go through a ceremony, and it kind of, I think that's a nice thing, because it tells people, like, you know what?
Get it together.
Get it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Game on. But also, doesn't that seem kind of late?
20?
Yeah, because in some parts, for example, in the Jewish tradition, it's 13.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in Japan?
Right. Well, actually, I mean, like, physically. And in,
yeah, but also for a lot of cultures, 16, or yeah. For a lot of Latinos, 15.
Yeah.
It's a big thing. We used to celebrate 16 here. I don't know if it's sweet 16s are as big as they used to be, or 18, but 20 is very late in the game.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you know what happens at the ceremony?
In the ceremony,
like a free for all?
Yeah.
They run amok.
What they do is, they wear specific outfits, certain kimonos in there. Mm-hmm. Kimonos are designed in it's very formal.
It's very adult.
Yeah.
It's an adult kimono.
The sleeves are longer, and they go through the ceremony. I don't know.
Is it for men and for women?
For men and women.
Okay.
Yeah. It just is a... Yeah,
really, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I think it is. Because it tells you, hey, you're an adult now, and we expect certain things from you as an adult.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know when that happens in our culture.
Yeah, that's
maybe
the
you
thing.
Get locked up.
What's the thing?
Like,
it doesn't happen for us.
Yeah.
We have a 21st birthday, and it says, okay, then you're able
drink.
To drink. And that's it. But you don't really transition into what you need to be.
Yeah, because at 18, for men at 18, you have to, you know, register with the service. But
yeah.
That's still not like you're an adult.
Right.
And 16 in some places... You can drive. In other places, it's 18. So there's really not, like, a clear delineation.
Well, I think it would be nice for a society to have some kind of expectation. Like, you're an adult now, so X, Y, and Z. You need to be responsible financially and
but this doesn't sound very fun. I'm not going to go to that party. Would I get there and they're like, all right, it's over.
Well, what do we have now? We have a lot of, like, immature men and women running
yeah.
around, you know, just being
tell,
foolish.
Like, in New York, tell you, like, 35.
Yeah.
Until someone gets pregnant.
Yeah.
Either you get pregnant or you get someone
right.
pregnant.
Right, right. Then you have Martin Luther King Day, which
of
is
course,
the third
yeah.
Monday, which is great. And then you have January 19th, which is my birthday.
Okay. Also a very important holiday.
Yeah. So January 19th, everyone.
I'd like to interject. I think you missed a couple of really good things. January 11th is Milk Day. It's National
uh-huh.
Milk Day.
Uh-huh.
I found this out. January 16th is National Fig Newton Day.
Uh-huh.
January 18th, for some bizarre reason, is the Peking Duck Day. And I thought a really actually important holiday for us, there is, where is it? January 25th, and I will be celebrating this, so I hope you will as well, is the National Irish Coffee Day. So get
oh.
your Jamesons and your Baileys and some coffee.
And get going.
And get going, people.
I want to do that.
Eye opener.
But there's also the another one, which I appreciate. Is the National Toilet Day.
National Toilet Day?
Yeah, it's National Toilet Day. Because
well, what does one do on that day that one doesn't do on regular? You put the seat down on that day.
it's
National Help Me Not Fall Into the Fucking Toilet Day.
Well, it's the celebration of the flush toilet, basically. in the 1880s, Thomas Crapper, who was
Are
a plumber.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Is that why it's called the Crapper?
No,
okay.
No. Crap has been used as a euphemism for...
That predates
Thomas Crapper.
Tom Crapper.
He just so happened to be a plumber that worked on toilets.
Okay.
And his name is Thomas Crapper. And
okay.
so there's been
is
a long
list. Is it like
Crappe
or something? It's not actually
no,
pronounced Crapper.
It's Crapper.
It's Crapper.
It's
okay.
Crapper. There's a long list of significant contributors to the history of the device, the toilet.
Okay.
But he happened to do whatever he did with, like, the flushing mechanism, and his name is Crapper, so he kind of gets credit for the flush toilet.
Wow, I bet you his family is
yeah,
proud.
He popularized the siphon system for emptying the tank.
Okay.
And replacing the earlier floating valve system, which was prone to leaks.
Thank goodness.
No kidding. I swear, you know, in the history of man, not
this
having
been
a toilet.
Left out. Toilets are very important.
Toilets are great.
Yes.
I'm a toilet enthusiast.
We are pro-toilet here. At
Could
you know
imagine,
what?
You know, outhouses? I always
Yes, I can. People, when I was growing up, had outhouses.
Yeah.
And did not have indoor plumbing
right.
in my area. And I remember going over to people's houses and being like, I better go to the bathroom before I get there.
Oh, no.
And, like, not really eat or drink very much.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, the camp that I went to, we didn't have plumbing either.
Yeah.
Although those outhouses weren't as bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something nice about the little, you know, the slice of moon coming through.
Little like,
yeah, they always have like a moon cutout on them.
Yeah, I mean, that's cute.
Yeah,
I remember watching Little House on the Prairie as a kid, and when they'd have to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, they'd have to run out to the outhouse.
Yep.
And I thought, my God.
Yeah.
I know. It's cold.
Yep. There's snakes and spiders.
You don't know what's in there.
And, yeah, you don't know what's in there.
And it's dark, and they didn't have flashlights.
Nope.
And they had to get the whole, I have to go to the bathroom, now I have to light a candle.
I'm surprised that more outhouses didn't just go up in flames.
Yeah.
Anyway. That would have been me.
But how can we celebrate this holiday? How can we? And they give you some a couple of games.
Are you
to
serious?
Play. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
is it the cap it off game? Cap it off.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
This one is called Toilet Memory. We all know that all kinds of things get dropped.
Sorry. Sorry, go ahead. I don't want to ruin your segment.
All kinds of things get dropped in the toilet. We have to fish out from time to time. Especially if you have kids.
I don't remember dropping anything in the toilet.
Because you weren't
kid.
A fool. You're not dumb. You're not a dumb person.
Yeah, even I was like, who's playing with their toys over the toilet?
It's ridiculous.
Here, could you pass that to me over the toilet?
It's not fun. Like, some kids would have, like, their little, like, adventure people. And they put them on the rim of the toilet.
No,
like,
oh, why?
It's going to fall in. And they fall in. And I don't adventure person.
And now you're stuck in there.
That's right.
Adventure's over.
This game is based on that idea. Take one toilet and put it in the middle of the yard.
Huh?
Yeah.
This is in the country, isn't it?
The object of this game is to remember what you see floating in the toilet.
Huh?
Fill the toilet up with water and drop 10 items into the toilet. Some may sink to the bottom and some may float.
Okay.
Each person has so many seconds to reach into the toilet with their hands and slosh around the water so they can see all the items. Once everybody has a turn, everyone then writes down on a piece of paper what they remember seeing in the toilet. The person who remembers all 10 items is the winner.
And what do they get? Just the satisfaction?
The satisfaction, but some people suggest prizes, such as a chocolate-covered banana.
Ew. Here's the thing. I mean, it just sounds like this is more of a memory game, and I'm not sure. I mean, sure, it celebrates, you know, our capacity to use our brains, but how does it really celebrate the crapper?
Then they have,
and by that I mean Thomas.
They have a couple more games. One is the toilet toss, where you have to get two teams, and you stand at a distance from your respective toilets, and then you toss water in, and whoever fills the toilet first with water, your team wins.
Who has all these toilets?
That's what I say. I don't want a new toilet. I'm not sticking my hands in
but
an
I don't
old
have
toilet.
A spare toilet.
Right.
Like, if you come over to my house, I'm not like, oh, hold on. Like, it's like, you know, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Do you have an extra commode?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I don't. That's bizarre.
That's so weird. And you don't want to do it with a used toilet.
No, you don't want to do it with a
so
used toilet.
So it has
toilet.
To be new, so you have to procure a new toilet for this.
To celebrate this day.
Yeah, and then the other games, if you don't have a toilet, then you could do the mummy wrap, which you basically
take the mummy wrap.
Yeah, you take toilet paper and you only have a certain amount of time to wrap a team member as a mummy in the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever has, whoever uses the most toilet paper and looks most like the mummy wins.
Okay.
And you win a brand new package of unopened toilet paper.
Great. This is awesome. I remember I once went to I was tricked into going to a bridal shower. I hate any of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a game there where they had to take toilet paper and make a wedding dress. Have you ever seen this before?
Please.
I went right to the gym. I was like, I'm not doing this. But it was actually kind of interesting
yeah.
to see people like put this thing together. But I mean, basically,
it's like, get Marge on that. She's the crafty
it's
one.
It's just a waste of toilet paper.
Right. But
National toilet paper.
This one is probably the most disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm. I was disturbed by the chocolate-covered banana incident situation. I think that's inappropriate, wholly inappropriate for any kind of celebration. I just don't like chocolate-covered bananas. I'm sorry. No. All right.
This one is the line race.
Huh? Is there pee involved in this one? Because if there is, I'm going to have to shut it down.
All right. You need two toilets for this.
Okay.
And divide into two teams. I mean, like, who are you getting to do this?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, the object of the game is to use the bathroom, but not really go through this, just go through the steps of using the bathroom.
Okay, does your bladder know that this is just a game?
I hope so. When the game caller says go, one person from each team will race to the toilet, sit down, grab up the toilet paper, roll some up, pretend to wipe, jump up, and run back to the front of the line and tag the next person, and then they go and do it. So it's like a relay.
Okay.
You have to go through the steps and then get back, and whoever completes the whole task first, that team wins. And they're like, okay, so what's funny about the game, they say? Everyone gets to see if you wipe from the back or the front.
I was going to say, yeah, the technique of wiping. I go, for guys, it's just like a dab.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever.
Or there's like some guys that like shake and just go on.
Yeah.
like nothing at all.
Right.
So weird. Where on earth did you find it? The internet. Yeah, I know that's the answer.
Internet.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I thought Brandy Alexander Day was weird. That's January 31st. Oh. Brandy Alexander, get your grandmother out. Your great, who has it? I've never had a Brandy Alexander before. Have you?
No.
These are drinks from like another time period.
Well, we should do that. We should have old fashioned drink days.
All right.
Which would just have all like
that's old
drinks.
With an E.
Yeah.
Right. Obscure drinks day. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Brandy Alexander.
Yeah. We'll have an old fashioned. We'll have a Brandy Alexander.
Have we done penis news yet?
No.
Oh, okay. So penis news. This is the first penis of 2015.
Oh.
And this is
the premier penis news of 2015.
Okay. It says, this is a list of 21 things you only know if you have a painfully average-sized penis. So I don't have one of these, so I don't know any of these things.
What, painfully? How would you say that?
Apparently, this is a problem for guys. And it says, every man longs for a couple more inches on their pride and joy, unless it's already massive. If you're in the big leagues, then bravo. I take my hat off to you and your shaft.
Oh,
but
who's writing this?
Some guy. But for those who are still batting for the junior team, here's 21 things
you
already
know.
He
typed this all up and was sat back and was like, yeah.
Couldn't stop laughing. It says, one, of course you measure from the scrotum base.
Sure.
Are people measuring? You're like, where else?
Yeah, but where are people measuring from?
I have no idea.
Their neck.
Yeah.
Oh, it starts here.
I'm going to measure from the solar plexus down and then out. That's my measurement. I was going to do something completely different. It says, the only underwear that makes your package look decent is uncomfortably tight and chafy. I have never in my life, you know, you see like underwear ads.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that in person.
Right.
Those
guys
look like they're about to spring out of it.
I know.
They look like they're going to turn blue. The rest of them is going to be an off color. They're so tight. All right. It says, you gain at least an inch when looking at it from the right angle. Who is doing all this?
But it's not real.
It's
that's not real.
Yes.
You look at it from another angle. It's still not real.
Completely different from over there.
This magnifying glass, it's huge.
Yes.
I don't know. That's another.
It says here, it looks neater than a larger penis. Because apparently there have been complaints about messiness.
Wait, neater?
Neater.
It's haphazard?
I don't know.
Penises are haphazard.
They're a mess. Clean it up.
I don't know.
Neater. It looks neater. It looks neater. It's more together.
Okay.
Like, it looks like a penis you can trust. You know?
It's like, that's a reliable penis if I ever saw one.
It says, what else is it? It says, shaving pubes is an absolute must to increase Johnson visibility. I had no idea that guys were thinking about this
Yeah. Guys do. Guys totally will
but that's
trim
like
it down.
Manscaping
to showcase their...
The manscaping?
Sure.
Whenever I think of manscaping, I think of like a rolling, like hills or something like that.
Right.
That's just cutting
it
down.
A ride mower.
Yeah. You can ask your lady friend, what do you see as average?
Don't ever.
Don't ask. We'll always lie.
Yeah.
We'll always lie. Whatever you have is fine
at
that
moment.
No one's going to insult you.
Yeah.
If they do, you should kick them out.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about this for women too. It's like if someone's insulting your person.
Yeah.
Then you need to ask
really,
them
honestly,
to
it's like,
leave.
Come on. I think that's just anxiety a lot of people have. It's really...
No one cares that
women
much.
Women don't care that much.
It's too late at that point. What is the room lit up like a flame? Like, come on. The room is lit up like a flame and she's sober.
Yeah.
It's like the worst case scenario for
right.
you if you're
fluorescent
embarrassed.
Fluorescent lights.
Yes. There's rulers everywhere.
Right.
It's kind of like when you walk out of a bodega, they have like 5'1", 5'5". It's like that kind of thing. Like, you can't help but measure.
Yeah.
The room is like, you know, graphic paper everywhere. It's just ridiculous.
I don't know. Yeah, guys, I think my general advice is just don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about it at all. Is it striking the mangina pose in front of your girlfriend to make her laugh? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's when you tuck your penis between your legs.
Why would you do that to make somebody laugh? Is that funny?
Because they don't know how to make jokes.
I guess. I mean, I know people I know that do drag. That's like a serious thing.
Yeah.
And it goes on for hours.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do it once if I were a dude. It seems very uncomfortable.
Yeah, and don't ever do that in front of me.
Yeah, please don't. So they go on and on and on. But it's just like, I was so surprised to see that guys are actually really consumed by this. It just seems very unnecessary. Because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
If you're average, it's like, you know, just keep it rolling. Really don't. You know, if it's no one's ever going to remark like, wow. What, you know, if you're a woman, you have average hair. No one's ever be like, that's such an average haircut. I don't know if I can go there.
Right.
You know, if it's average, no one's going to notice.
Right.
You should only really be concerned if you have something, you know, that's less than average, or if you're just frightening.
Yeah, right.
If people run screaming from the room.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you should be concerned about.
Right.
So that's my penis news. It's just news to me. That people are that consumed by this.
Yeah, they are. They shouldn't be. So guys,
no, there's no need to be concerned about it, you know? Yeah. Unless you're the guy with two.
Yeah, and then.
Yeah, he was on TV.
Yeah. So what do you, it's a win-win.
Yeah, it's a win-win. All right, what do you have?
I have here, what do we have?
I'm still getting over the toilet game. This is a very silly podcast. 2015 is in the toilet. It is.
I can do Tales from the Campfire.
Okay. Is this a highbrow Tales from the Campfire? I need something that's stiff upper lip.
This is My Haunting Hates Hard Rock.
Okay. So this is our first Tales from the Campfire for 2015. Tales from the Campfire.
What?
I don't know. I don't know where that was coming from. Tales from the Campfire is a segment where we take news of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories,
myth,
urban legends,
yeah,
and we retell them right here around the digital campfire. So gather around.
Gather around, listeners. This is written, the author is a middle-aged adult.
That's what they said.
That's what it starts off as.
What is that? Is that 50 now? Because people are living to 100.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll say 50.
Okay.
We'll go 50, between 50 and 60.
Okay.
All right.
I just want to be clear.
So, some years ago when I was 16.
Okay.
That's some years ago.
It's like 30 years ago.
I had one of the most frightening experiences of my life. I was in my bedroom writing some rather hard rocking music on my new synthesizer.
Wow. Was this in the 80s?
It must have. It's got to be in the 80s. Like early 80s. It's got to be. I'll place this at 1983, 1984.
Because
that's when the synthesizer from... Yeah.
I had a Casio. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
I did not rock hard on it, though.
Yeah.
I wasn't able
Well, this
to.
Guy was.
Okay.
And then while he was rocking hard, when my mother comes in and said that dad and her...
Quit the rock!
So that dad and her were going to the grocery store.
Okay.
Gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
You're rocking too hard for us.
It's like that video where he's pushing on one side, they're pushing on the other.
Right.
He just wants the rock, they just want to go to the grocery store.
Right. Basically, I just nodded with that teenage temperament that speaks, okay, yeah, whatever, bye. Soon after their departure, it began to cloud up outside as if a rainstorm was imminent.
Okay.
Coming up.
It was going to happen. The future was rain. Okay. What's scary about that?
Well, he's setting the tone.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
As a writer, as
okay,
a middle-aged
okay.
author,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's painting the scene for
yeah.
us. My bedroom window was open, and speaking of this particular window, it was a very old window that just took about all of the strength one could muster to open it and close it. Well, let's just say that seemed about twice as hard to accomplish that feat. So basically the window, for all intents and purposes, was stuck open, come rain or shine.
Okay.
As I slowly crept the volume up on my amplifier and played more and more feverishly to the rocking tune I was creating...
Oh, my God. Okay.
The attic door, a standard 1930s issued inside door, which is also in my room, suddenly swung open.
Mm-hmm.
Startled, I quickly hit the stop button on my synth.
Okay. I turned the Casio off.
And I turned around to see the attic door fully open. My rather logical mind, though stunned, quickly jumped in and said, the window is open and it was probably just a pressure draft that pulled the door open. With that, my
logical... Quickly, it said that. It did.
So with that, my logical explanation firmly in place, I pressed the start button and continued to marvel.
I went back to rocking hard.
No, he actually went back. He continued to marvel at my loud musical creation.
Okay. So this is a synthesizer.
Yeah.
So it's like, wah, 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 over and over and over and over again. Yeah.
Not more than 10 seconds passed, and I hear the attic door slam shut rather loudly. This time I noticed there was absolutely no breeze coming in the window. In fact, the curtains weren't even rustling at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was weird and scared the heck out of me. I mumbled to myself.
Just the heck? I thought this was one of the most frightening things that's ever happened to this guy.
Wow. But once again, even though the hair on my arms was standing at full attention.
Yes.
My logic interrupted and put me at ease.
Mm-hmm.
Logic here.
Yeah, his brain's doing a lot of the heavy lifting here.
Logic is here.
Logic is here.
Let me put your brain at ease.
Turn off that synth again.
But he's rocking hard.
Okay, rocking hard.
At his musical creation. After taking a deep breath, I decided to, again, press start and wait to see what happens. Nothing. Then...
He should have recorded it on his Casio and used it as a loop.
Oh,
wow. And his hard rock.
I know. Just then, as I was getting into the music again, the attic door slammed open with such ferocity that made the room shake, then it immediately slammed shut again. So this door's opening and closing.
Basically.
This time, not only was every hair on my body standing up...
Please, don't go there.
But I was frozen in place with an intense fear,
okay.
As if the presence was in the room with me, and I was it was standing right behind me, breathing down my neck.
Okay. It was the god of rock.
You summoned me from the attic.
Yes.
From my chambers.
Yes. It's gore.
I felt compelled to run as fast as I could from the room, but instead I began walking toward the open window. I was no more than 3 steps away from the window when it suddenly slammed shut and the glass broke inward into my room.
Mm-hmm.
In one quick motion, I leapt toward my bedroom door, yanked the door open, and flew down the stairs, missing about 15 or 16 steps. What?
So basically he fell down the stairs, is what he's saying. He got freaked out, tripped.
How could he jump down 15 or 16?
He fell.
He omitted that part in this.
He flew, in the second telling. Draft.
Pulled open the front door of the house and ran into the front yard. I stood in the front yard for the next 20 minutes until my parents returned. In the drizzling rain, staring up at my bedroom window in complete shock at what just happened. I recall this was the only hostile event that happened while in my house. While many will agree this seems like an extreme paranormal experience.
Or barometric pressure. Either one.
Some offered a more subtle logical explanation to this event. I was told that my first impulse in which the air pressure was causing the door to open and shut
mm-hmm.
was the correct unconscious response to what was happening. That the window in my room was wide open just before the thunderstorm completely explains the strange but all too common phenomena.
What about the rock?
nobody can explain.
No one can explain that.
That rock.
Yeah.
The fact that my window slammed shut just as I was walking towards it was nothing more than the coincidence of the loud rocking music causing vibrations.
Yep. He rocked so... We had another story. It was like, people, when you are rocking out hard, that's when the paranormal happens.
Yeah. You gotta keep it under wraps.
Yeah, it's summoning.
Okay. A teenager all alone in the house, the storm clouds approached, produced an unconscious fear response that so many youngsters experience when startled.
Mm-hmm.
These explanations are actually very academic.
And I will get into those in part two.
But once the story is put into context with other strange occurrences that happened while in the house, led me to less logical conclusions.
That's it?
No, there's a little bit more. He says here, such as, my conclusions led me to abandon the overpowering musical work I had been composing.
Is this guy? I really need to hear this track.
I know.
You know, it sounds really badass.
It does.
The way he's explaining it.
He's really insisting that it's just a tremendous piece.
And then yet somehow he did not become a famous musician.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he was able to, create this awesome headbanging rock.
Well, he abandoned his overwhelming musical work and started to begin more relaxed music fare.
really some yes. soft rock now?
Some soft rock. So that evening, I erased the composition and began working on my first love ballad.
Oh, God. Is that how it happens?
Which, as it turns out, was the first real song I ever wrote. Oddly enough, I know this will sound cliche, but soon after turning my musical taste to the more relaxed state, a soft smell of roses filled the room.
Mm-hmm. Sign Don Henley. Yes. It's like someone's backstory of how they turned from hard rock to soft rock.
Right. At the time, I had no idea where the smell was coming from, but it was there. I carefully walked around the attic door with every corpuscle in my body full of lard.
Oh, God. This guy needs to relax.
Oh my God. Most likely from the earlier trauma I suffered, I slowly opened the door. To my amazement, the smell of roses was tenfold stronger in the attic stairway.
Mm-hmm. Was it black and white in the room, but just the roses were red? Like, is that what happened?
So at once my fear dissipated and I was filled with a newly found inspiration to complete my first, and to this day, one of my best musical compositions.
Wow. I think there's nothing
worse. We're holding up our Bic lighters right now, looking, yes. waiting for an encore.
I think there's nothing worse than like a soft rock love ballad. See, really, that's the horror part of the story. Yeah, right. The horrible part, the scary part, is that he wrote a ballad.
Right. What came out of it.
That he turned away from what was good and right and decided to do a ballad. I don't know. All right, I think we're good. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Webster's Dictionary defines January as. That's how you start every good talk. Yeah. I'm going to start my TED talk like that.
Yeah.
Webster's Dictionary defines a TED talk as. When one's asked, just won't shut up about something that everyone already knows about.
Right. They have the biggest openings, the yes. longest drawn out, yes. repetitive openings. Yes.
And then PowerPoint presentations. Yeah.